Welcome back, sex fans. Today is Monday, March 3rd, 2008, and you are listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that world famous, the ever so popular Dr. Dick. That would be me. This week, I'm delighted to bring you part two of my interview with the two masters in the practice of tantric sex, Kypris and Stephen Jay. My guests are teachers, guides, and published authors. They are also the founders of YabYummy.com, an online resource for all people curious about or seeking a tantric path to sexual wholeness. Look for them at YabYummy.com. That's YabYummy.com. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of DrDicksSexAdvice.com. I know many of you have sexual performance concerns and questions. I often hear, "Hey, Dr. Dick, what's the best way for me to pleasure my partner? How do I go planning a sex party? I don't know too much about female masturbation, but I sure want to learn," you know, stuff like that. Well, now you don't have to wait for me to respond to your pressing query. Just mosey on over to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and let some of the experts show you a thing or two. You'll be able to watch all kinds of appetizingly entertaining, amazingly enriching, and exceptionally informative videos right there on your old computer screen. How sweet is that? But before we begin today's exciting show, I'd like to remind you all of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. As you all know by this time, this is a no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Alrighty then. I'm delighted to welcome back Kypris and Stephen Jay of YabYummy.com. This is part two of my interview with these masters of tantric sex. In case you missed part one, look for last week's podcast, that's number 52, from February 25th, 2008. I'm so glad you guys could come back and join us this week. So let's pick up where we left off last week, shall we? To start off, I would like to address the issue of sensuality versus sexuality. You know, I've discovered over the years that many people know how to be sexual, but few understand the meaning of sensuality. Of course, there are those among us who are comfortable with being sensual, but who are intimidated by being sexual. Is there any way that Tantra could bring these two things together for people experiencing a rift between sexuality and sensuality?
Oh, absolutely. I think, Richard, that this is one of the things that Tantra does really, really well. Because for me, when I hear the word sensual, I think about being in my body, but not necessarily sexually aroused. And for me, it's more of a heart energy, even a loving energy that I feel when I'm feeling sensual. And sexual energy feels much more fiery to me, much more just exciting. And so the thing about Tantra is that you get to bring those two energies together. And so if you're someone who's really on the sensual channel and you want to learn about, you know, being more sexual, then Tantra can really open that door for you by opening up any blocks that you have to allowing that in yourself. And I think for women, that's our struggle. I'm not sure for men. I think for men, it's the opposite side.
Yes.
Most of, you know, men tend to be very much on the sexual channel. And I think of that as them sort of being anchored in their root chakra. And for men, it's harder to get into that heart sensual energy, to
would you
open
agree,
up the
Stephen?
Heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
You better. She's sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
In my experience, it's a really great question. When I first started, I didn't even understand the difference. Sensuality was just a precursor to sexuality for me. It was, you know, that was foreplay, isn't it? And then it was all about sexual energy. And I think that's really the case for where most men come into this practice. We have different entryways to the practice of Tantra. So for me, it was all about learning to what I call transmute my sexual energy into a sensual, loving energy. And this was a real eye-opener for me because it allows me to connect with women in a way that they feel safe. It allows me to initiate in a way that doesn't feel like I'm you know, walking at them with my cock stuck out.
You're predatory. You know, you're not.
I'm not predatory, exactly. And then once we form a connection, I also get to be the awakener of the goddess's sexual energy. So I get to be the one that helps her learn about how she can take that sensual heart energy and move it down to her yoni, move it down to her root, and play with the sexual energy, play with my sexual energy, which of course is, you know, feels great to me.
So it would also seem to me that it would, if we are able to work from both sensuality and sexuality, that would open us up for greater possibilities of interacting with a wider range of people than we normally do. Like, for instance, ostensibly straight men who have really good and profound relationships with other men are intimidated about being sensual with them or, you know, physical with them because of the onus of, you know, oh, that means that you're gay or that you want to have sex with me. But here we're talking about something quite different than that. In the same way of, you know, men and women who might have, you know, other men and women friends where overt genital sexuality might be out of bounds, but sensuality would be a wonderful thing to add to the relationship. Yes?
Absolutely. You know, and that's really been the pathway that I've taken to learning how to interact with men. It's been such an amazingly beautiful journey for me to realize that I can, you know, go up to some of my male friends and give them a really big hug and connect with them at the heart. And that doesn't mean that I want to have sex with them. It doesn't mean that they need to have sex with me. Uh-huh. But we can have this bond. And that's really helped me feel comfortable in the presence of men. And in a way, it's changed my relationship from a competitive one to a cooperative one with them.
Well,
and it's all been around learning this practice of being both down in my cock and up in my heart.
I've thought about this a great deal in my life. As a gay man, I would really like to be more open with my feelings of affection with other men in my life, particularly straight men. I wish I could be more overt with my feelings of affection toward women in my life, both straight women and lesbians. My fear is, and I've seen it on the faces of some people I've been more demonstrative with, that these expressions of affection, that my openness, will be misunderstood or misinterpreted as an overture for sex. It isn't, of course. It's simply me expressing my feelings with a hug or an embrace. The problem tends to be that we have been socialized into thinking that all intimate touch is a sexual proposal. So few of us are comfortable with sensual intimacy for its own sake. And there are those inevitable, awkward moments when I can see the confusion on the face of a friend who is trying to figure out the meaning of my hug or embrace. I wish us men folks were able to balance sensuality and sexuality a bit better than we do. Women seem to be able to do this with less difficulty than men.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's true, actually, is that, you know, for women, there's no taboo around connecting with each other through touch. So women can hug each other, cuddle each other, kiss each other. And no one looks at that and says, oh, they must be gay. You know, there's no interpretation on that for women. So we have a lot of freedom. But again, as soon as we connect with a man in that way, then the interpretation becomes, oh, she's hot for him, you know.
That's right.
And
yes.
So I really agree with you that there is a distinction between those two energies, and I think that having more of that sensual energy available to us for connecting with men and women in our lives is a really beautiful practice.
I often hear from people, this is a little bit of a shift in direction, but I often hear from people, both women and men, in terms of they're asking for my help in terms of their sexual inhibitions. A lot of the inhibitions that they report come from, you know, the broader society or their religious upbringing or family prohibitions, and they get very muddled and, you know, internalize these kinds of things, and they find themselves very unhappy. At the same time, a lot of these same people are control freaks. They feel like they need to control everything around them in order to, you know, maintain this sense of being on top of things. I would suspect from what all the things that you've been telling me and my audience, our audience, is that Tantra would possibly be a wonderful way of getting rid of inhibitions and relinquishing control.
Well, I think I have to answer this one because I think I'm the control freak of the pair here.
There's always one of you.
Yes. In any partnership, there's always a control freak. And I think that what you're saying is absolutely true, that when I really started walking the path of partnered tantric practice was when I really got this really full in the face that I had to surrender, because I had been doing my sexuality from a place of trying to control it and make things happen. And really, it's not about that. It's the opposite. It's about letting go and seeing what happens. And for me, that was terrifying. I think that most of us who like to control our bodies, our sexuality, our lives, are doing that out of fear.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we're controlling to make ourselves feel safe. And so what Tantra has done for me is it's created a sense of connection to spirit, is what I call it,
mm-hmm.
That's so strong for me that I can feel safe.
Uh-huh.
And once I feel safe, I no longer have to control my experiences because I can trust that everything is perfect.
Wow. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Trust me, it is amazing.
And Stephen, do you have something similar to add, either in terms of inhibitions or relinquishing control?
Well, for relinquishing control, absolutely. You know, I think you said it. We get these things, these desires to control from our childhood. You know, I hate to be Freudian on us, but it always feels, when we see clients, they're almost always working through some challenge that was brought up, was created in them in childhood. And it always looks more like, you know, my childhood was X, so I learned to do Y to control the situation. As kids, you know, that's great. So we learn to be control freaks so that we can keep our lives safe. We learn to be perfectionists so that no one will say anything bad about us. And then we take these, of course, into our adulthood, and, you know, that equates to an inability to be open, to be sexual, and to be free. So, and I have to agree with what Kipper said, that the process for me has been about trusting spirit. And I didn't come to it, since I came to this practice from a really sexual place. I came to Tantra because I wanted to have better sex.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have a spirituality when I started practicing Tantra. Mm-hmm. I was really an atheist. I had a meditative practice,
uh-huh,
and a no-mind practice, but I didn't have the concept that there was somebody, some spirit, some greater thing out there that I could turn my control over to. And when I learned to do that, and Tantra has taught me to do that by really forcing me to be in the moment, you know, by trying to not be in the moment, trying really hard, and realizing that every time I did it, I started to go insane. And every time that I let go and just trusted that spirit had me and formed that connection, then my life got easier, my orgasms got better, my sexual connections got more powerful. I started to have, you know, all of these new experiences of full body orgasm, multiple orgasms, and, you know, as I shared in the last interview, mouth orgasms.
Wow.
This is all about letting go, trusting.
Kypris, you mentioned a word a while ago, chakras, and I'd like to return to that, if I may. I hear the term bandied about a lot lately in the popular culture, and I fear that most of the folks doing the bantying about don't know Shinola about what the term actually means. Perhaps you could take a few moments and give us the skinny on what a chakra really is.
Sure, I'd love to fill you in about chakras. In fact, it's one of my favorite subjects. There's a whole 3 chapters in my book on this particular topic. The chakras are what I would call energy centers in the body. So they're places where there's a lot of concentrated life force energy, and you can call that sexual energy if you like. And physically, they're places in the body that have a lot of nerve endings. So that's kind of interesting to me. So there's sort of these spiritual concepts about our body, what we call our energy body.
Uh-huh.
But what's cool about them is that they have physical locations. So I can say, oh, I'm feeling into my root chakra, and it's not some esoteric concept outside my body. It's a place that's located, you know, in the perineum,
right?
That place between the anus and the yoni in women, and in men between the anus and the lingam.
We like to call that the taint. Taint pussy, taint asshole. Sorry about
Steven
that.
He likes to call it the tweenie. but that's the physical location of the spiritual concept of the root chakra. And so chakras govern these different parts of our psychological lives. So the root chakra, for instance, is all about feeling safe and surviving and vitality. You know, there's a chakra in the throat that's all about communication, as you might imagine, and inspiration. And there's a chakra in the top of your head that's about connection to, you know, the divine. And so the way that we work with those chakras is both sort of psychological in Tantra, in terms of, okay, let's work with these different centers in the body and see what's coming up, what's alive there for clearing. But also, we look at them as containers of energy in our bodies and places that we want to connect to as we're moving sexual energy through us. And not only can we do that practice of moving sexual energy through our own bodies, but the chakras give us places where we connect to another person. So I think in tantric practice, that's probably one of their most important functions. And I think in the last podcast, we talked about moving energy between two people.
Yes.
And the chakras are the places where we do that. So we form these little connections between ourselves and another person at the chakras. And, you know, there's a chakra in the heart. I think that's one that probably almost everyone has experienced, where if you're with someone that you feel a particular way about, you have this sensation in your chest, an opening, and maybe a physical sensation, maybe an emotional sensation that happens there. And when you really strongly are in love with someone, you feel this thing moving between you there.
Yes.
And that's an example.
And that safety thing that you mentioned earlier as well, love, real love is something, or a real intimate connections between human beings creates that safe space.
Well, and yes, and yes, and safety, that's an interesting one, because I think I've been working this one in my own practice. A lot of us try to create safety in the heart, and we want security in our heart, that really in the practice of Tantra, safety and security comes from the root chakra.
No kidding.
Which is the place where we connect sexually. So that's, it's a very interesting concept to struggle with, is how do I feel safe and how do I have heart connection?
One final question for you both. If I know my audience, and I think I do, I'll bet that there are many people out there listening to us right now who are thinking, you know, that tantric stuff sounds like it's really worth a try. I got to do something, anything to help me move off center. I'm stuck in a rut in my sexual life or bogged down in my relationship, and I can't seem to get out of my own way. Maybe something like what these guys are talking about could be helpful in my life. But how do I begin? It seems so foreign to me. So if that's on the mind of many in my audience, maybe I should ask you for them. How would somebody who finds the things you guys have been talking about not only interesting but compelling, how would someone like that get started in the practice of Tantra?
Well, it depends on whether you're a man or a woman, I think.
Well, I'm a man, so if okay. I wanted to, what would you suggest I do?
Well, I think Stephen Jay's got to address that one.
Okay, cool.
What do you think, Stephen?
Good question. So I'm a man, and I have heard the word Tantra, but I don't know anything more about it. So where do I start?
I mean, besides immediately running over to your website.
Absolutely. Running over to the website and looking at our resources. Kipris's book is a great place to start doing that. But from the male point of view, I would want to know why. You know, what are my benefits? I'm not going to do
exactly.
any of this work unless I have a sense that there's going to be some end goal that's a little less esoteric than, you know, my chakras are going to be open.
Right. We want to get somewhere if we're going to do something like this.
Absolutely. And for me, it was I wanted to get to a place where my sexual life was more, and I didn't even know what that meant. I just knew that I wasn't getting what I wanted. I had this inkling of a belief that there was more out there, and I wanted it.
And in terms of a woman, Kipris, how would a woman begin, or where should she begin?
Well, that's a whole different story, because for most women, what we're really looking for is to improve our relationships with men, if we're straight, or with, you know, women, if we're not, And so I think that the place for us as women to begin is with our own practice, with our own self-love. And that's for most of the women that begin work with me, that's where we start. So we start with, you know, creating a spiritual practice to get us centered in feeling love for ourselves. And we start with learning about all the spiritual stuff. And from there, we tend to come into the sexual practice after we have anchored in ourselves and started to.
Well, that's so powerful, because I'm working with a client right now, a woman client, who has this amazing capacity to love this loutish idiot that she's married to, but she can't love herself at all. And it just breaks my heart, because she's really a wonderful, charming person, but she can't bring herself to do that. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's her early programming as a young woman by a difficult family. But whatever it is, it's really gotten in the way for her only to pour out stuff to others, even people who are unworthy, and nothing left for herself, which it just breaks my heart.
Well, in fact, I want to mention something in light of what you have just said, that in my book there is something called a self-marriage ceremony.
How grand.
That's specifically really powerful for women, because in that ceremony you take vows to yourself. You know, you commit to a lifetime love affair with yourself, and you commit not to abandon yourself mm-hmm. in life. And for me, that's been an extremely powerful container to come into, because I'm no longer dependent on my relationships with men to support me.
Oh, that's worth its weight in gold. I'm going to get the book just to have that. One of the things that I'm aware of, not only in myself, but in my clients, is that we have this great difficulty of loving and appreciating ourselves, mostly because we get these messages from outside of ourselves, from our culture, from our upbringing, from our religious practices, whatever, that we are not worthy, that we as me as a gay man or as an older man, we're discounted and these call into question my sense of worth, and I suspect that this is operative in the lives of the people that I work with as well. So what you just said about, what is it called, a marriage ceremony to ourselves?
It's called a self-marriage ceremony.
How grand, how grand.
Yeah.
Listen, you guys, I'm eternally grateful for so much of your precious time, and I hope that our audience will be as appreciative as I. Before we go, would you again say your names and your website, and we'll be seeing you there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm Kypris After Drake, and the website is www.yabyummy.com.
And I'm Stephen J.
Whoops, I almost forgot to ask you about the derivation of your website name, Yab Yummy. I meant to do that last week and I forgot.
Well, the word Yab Yum is from Tibetan Buddhist tantric tradition, and it means mother father.
Ah.
So it's about the balance and the polarity of the masculine and the feminine and the power that they create when they come together. And so we love that word, and we think it really is at the core of everything we do. And we wanted to make our website a little playful. So turning Yab Yum into Yab Yummy, which describes, you know, how yummy practice is, and is where it came from.
Excellent. Take care, you guys. I'll see you online.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. There's never a membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember, your pay-for-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Sweet, huh? And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. All you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.